Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All the time, God is good. We serve a great God. Our God is faithful. He doesn't change. Situations around us change all the time, but our God is reliable. He is dependable. I think from the month of September or October, we've been looking at the names of God, the names that denote his character. You know, at different points in our lives, we've experienced him as the Lord that provides. We've experienced him as the Lord, our healer. We've experienced him as our victory. We've experienced him as our righteousness. We've experienced him as our peace. We've experienced him as the one that never goes away, the one that is always with us, the names of God. And in this Advent season, I think it just kind of flowed into it. Last week, you know, Papa Jeff brought counselor. Not just like your counselor, the ordinary, if we need advice, we go to our elders and we come. This counsel is beyond, you know, it's that counsel that the Holy Spirit brings. Because he sees the end from the very beginning. He doesn't give you counsel based on just today. He gives you the perfect, wonderful counselor. He is the Almighty God. There is no one that can be compared to him. He told Moses, I am the Almighty God. And then when Moses was like, he sent Moses, and Moses said, who would I tell them has sent me? Have you ever heard this? I am that I am. What does that mean? What does it mean, I am that I am? I'm here to tell you today, he said that because whatever is the need, he is the solution. Whatever is the need. So he didn't want to like say, I am the healer. Where would he start? That's one, addressing one thing. But when he said, I am that I am, it encompasses the whole nature of God. That's the God we serve. He's the everlasting Father. He's our Father. Never walks away. Never goes away. Eternal. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's immortal, invisible. The only wise God. He's our Father. He's our Father. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm so happy because if I don't have faith, there's a solution to that. When I hear the word of God, faith arises. Hope is made renewed. And so every time we gather is to build up our faith. Maybe I come here and I'm alone. I don't have the faith to believe him because I just have these great things ahead of me that I'm like, Lord, I don't know. And I just come straight to whoever I can find and I'm like, can you stand with me? The Bible says wherever two or three, whatever we agree upon as touching to his word, it is done. It is done. So I pray this morning that our faith would arise again in God. As we look at one other name of God. Thank you, Jesus. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. Advent. We're celebrating the first coming of Jesus Christ. We're remembering. You know, the Bible tells us In the Old Testament, God told the children of Israel, talk about me in your sitting. Talk about me when you're walking. Talk about me when you lay down. Talk about me all the time. What are we talking about him? About his goodness. About who he is. And so today we're talking about this God that delivered us. This great God that is called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. I don't know about you. How has this year been for you from January till date? How has it been? How's your peace been like with all the news? How have you maintained this peace that we're talking about? That's what we're going to look at today as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ. Why did he have to come? Why did Jesus Christ have to come? I know we've heard the stories over and over again, but we all agree that there's nothing wrong in just going back to it again and just reminding ourselves again of, you know, and it makes you appreciate what God has done, that we don't take him for granted. I like to say that I, you know, want to cultivate the attitude of gratitude, be in a place of being thankful. And so today is to like, Lord, just remember how this journey started. In Genesis, we were told, God decided by himself to create the world, earth. And then he thought about it. It's beautiful. Let me create man in my own image. You're created in the image of God. We sang that song that says, your breath is in my lungs. I think we forget a lot of times that we think this life is ours. No. This breath is the breath of God that he's put inside of us. And so he created it in January. And I'm thinking about January. He created earth. And the Bible tells us in Genesis that he says, and everything was good. Very, very good. Everything was perfect. He made man. And then man was having a wonderful time with his maker, having fellowship, was not ashamed to come before the presence of God, was not even aware that he was naked, but had fellowship with God until this day that this serpent came in and deceived man. Man chose to believe the serpent and forgot what God had told him. Because it looked good to the eye. And it's not everything, just like Andy said, what you say. God looks at our hearts. He's the God that sees all. There's nothing hidden before God. And so they disobeyed. And because he's a just God, they just couldn't stay in this beautiful garden anymore. A curse came on man, on the earth, on everything, and the relationship was broken. Can we see that when there's sin in our lives, we hide from God? We're not the first. That's what the enemy does. Instead of bringing our sin to the open, because Jesus has already delivered us, he deceives us and say, just keep it. You're not good enough. He deceives you. You know, we're victorious. And then, right there and then, God said, God decided that the seed of the woman will bruise his head. From the beginning when sin came in, God made a way out already because of the love that he has for each and every one of us. And then from that time onward, we find out that when the enemy kind of had guesses and think that maybe the Messiah is coming, he will begin to do terrible things. An example is about the birth of Moses. And God knows everything. I just want to encourage us. God knows everything. Psalm 139 says, before he formed us, the number of our days, everything about us he knows. And sometimes it feels as if, because you're just getting into the situation now, it feels as if it's happening now. No, God knows and he's already made a way of escape. That gives me a lot of encouragement. So to us, it's like you just heard that news. This just happened now. And we're feeling like, oh God, how? No, he knows about it. There's already victory, even in that place. And so Moses, before he came, I just want to highlight this. We can remember that Pharaoh told the midwife in Egypt, kill every son. Why? Because he was trying to hinder his end date. But we know he cannot. He's still doing that. He's not learned. He's still doing that. And the same thing with the birth of Jesus Christ, before I jump forward. So we see that in the Old Testament, God kept speaking, you know, speaking through his children, speaking through the prophet about this Messiah that would restore this peace, this relationship. And if you're like me, you will think that it's just going to be 200 years. But no, the timing, we leave that to the sovereignty of God. The timing is in his hands. The perfect time to, you know, cause the Messiah to appear on earth was in his hand. And let me encourage us again. The Bible is the word of God. It's been tested, tried, and true. Jesus Christ said this God said it thousands of years, and it happened exactly as he said it. And I want us to know that everything that God has spoken concerning us is true because of the authenticity of the Bible. The word of God is true and is alive. So that was how the plan God had in place to send our Redeemer, our Savior. The story of Christmas is one of redemption. We were a people who were in darkness, who had no relationship with God. And there was no way we could go back to him. So he had to come to us because he loves us and he wants to be in fellowship with us. And gives us access to everything we lost in the garden. Everything we lost, we have access through Jesus Christ. So, our key scripture for this is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." When Isaiah got this prophecy, I'm sure when he said, the people were like, how can this be? But today is a reality. Jesus Christ has come, and he's back in heaven. And because of what he did, we have access to the Lord. Now, Prince of Peace, what's this peace that we're talking about? Why is he called the Prince of Peace? The Message translation actually calls it the Prince of Wholeness. The Prince of Wholeness. We all know that in Hebrew, peace is shalom. And I think that it's only in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 that you have the Prince of Peace in the whole of Scripture. And in the Hebrew, it's Sa Shalom. It's like the leader, you know, the one who gives peace. Peace can only come from him. What's this peace that we're talking about? God's peace is not simply the absence of strife or noise. It's an attribute of God himself. The reality of God in us is what gives us this peace. It's not as a result of we can see that sometimes there are people who have everything in life. They don't have Jesus, they don't have peace. This peace only comes by the presence of Jesus Christ. And that definition was taken from the Truth Version of peace. I would say this peace is not also the absence of trouble, but it is a choice to believe in Jesus Christ and everything that he's done. To believe that he's true above all the noise and all that you're saying. The reality of his person in your life, that is the Holy Spirit in you, is what gives us this peace. It's not by the house. It's not that all our children are well behaved. It doesn't come from the fact that, oh, I think I'm in church all the time and I'm serving God. No, it comes from the intimacy of knowing this Jesus. He's the source of this peace. And what he did that made us whole again. Because this peace came as a branch to link us back to the Father. So it's peace of God. The peace of God. And he made us whole. And this peace for individuals, we have peace. Nothing can steal this peace because we have the Holy Spirit in us. I hope I'm not jumping forward. But for the world, we've not yet experienced this peace that Jesus has paid for yet. Just like I said, in his sovereignty, he decides. Like when the disciples came and said, we know you are the Son of God. When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel back? And he said, it's not for you to know the time. Now, your relationship with the Father is restored. You have peace with God. But for the world, the turmoil, the wars, and all that's going on. I've set a date to end it all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God that it's all ending one day. One day. If Jesus has given us that peace within, we know that there will be a new earth and a new heaven someday. So, how did he restore this peace? He came because God is a just God. He's faithful. Our sin has to be paid for, or else God won't be God. And so in Isaiah 53 verse 5. I'm reading the classic, Amplified Classic. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Some translations say our punishment that we deserve to bring us this peace was placed upon Jesus Christ. He took it. Our salvation is not free. It cost Jesus everything. And he gave us everything. We don't have to do anything but believe. But believe. So I've said that this peace, I'm just going to list, you know, what this peace does for us. I've already mentioned, I said, the peace restores our relationship back to God. Calms every situation. Restore our relationship with each other. That we can walk in peace. And we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because of this peace. And then someday, there will be peace on earth according to his word. Now, how do we experience this peace? This peace that I'm talking about, that is the Prince of Peace, how do we experience him? We know the Bible tells us we have to believe. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first step is to believe in Jesus, to experience this peace that the Prince of Peace has brought for us. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. Sorry, I didn't give that. I'll just read. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So to experience this peace, you must believe that Jesus took your place, has paid the price for your sin, and believe in your heart. And this helps you to adhere to everything he said. Verse 10 says, for with the heart a person believes, adhere to, trust in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speak out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. So it's not just enough to believe in your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So when we believe in our hearts, the next thing we do, we speak. And when we speak, it helps us to adhere to everything God wants us to adhere to. But when we don't speak, the devil can come in and play games. So we have to speak. Jesus spoke every time. He spoke to the storm. We have to speak to our situation. We have peace, we have victory, but we need to speak. We need to speak to declare the word. And then we need faith. Faith. Believe that it's done before seeing. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, but things hoped for. To experience this peace requires that we unite with Christ in an active faith, continuous, building up, hearing the word actively. And when we do, we are justified by faith to have, and so to have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. I don't think it's there. Therefore, since we are justified, we are acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. Through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Faith, believing in the finished work of the cross, that I am what he says I am by the grace of God. It's no longer me, but Christ that lives in me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's all about him. And live in obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word. He says, abide in me and I in you. That's John, Gospel of John chapter 15. And whatever you ask. So there's a place to enjoy this peace. We need to continue in the word, to remain in the word, to continue to experience this peace that brings wholeness. The reality of this peace comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. There it mentioned that one of the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is peace. So we have the capacity to live continuously in this peace because we are all carriers of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And he imposes over our soul life the peace of God that we can now live it out as he grants us grace to. I'm so thankful that the Bible is not silent for when this peace is lost, because we can lose this peace. I don't know about you. I've had seasons, different seasons in my life where I had to walk with the loss of this peace, even though I knew the word. But the faithfulness of God and his word, you know, helps. I would share one of such instances. About 2 years ago, my husband was diagnosed. No, he was diagnosed about 3 years ago, but 2 years ago was when I was really struggling. And you know how you're like, Lord, I believe you for healing. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And then the healing is not coming after 1 year, 2 years, and you're like, God, where are you? And you begin to look at the challenges. The enemy is so subtle. He's like making you, he distracts you. So remember I said that I'm learning to cultivate gratitude all the time. It was at this point in my life that I was overwhelmed by everything. And I was like, I was expecting this would have been over by now. And Lord, I just cannot, you know, you're like praying but grumbling, but not thankful. And for 2 weeks, we have a mirror on the wall of the side of one of our rooms, and I just walked past and I was like, who was that? Gosh, I looked miserable. I was like, huh? I didn't recognize myself. And I was like, what's happening? And the Holy Spirit said, since you decide to be the Lord of yourself, carry your burdens and your problem, I've given them to you. And I'm like, Lord, honestly, if you had seen me, you would say, Ruth, you're sick. You need help. Because what I've done is I took my eyes away from the Lord and I carried the burden. There's no, none of us can do it. It will break us. None. We were not meant for. And I turned to God and I said, Lord, I repented. And I said, I'm sorry. And I said, help me to give thanks. Not for, but for who you are. So not for the situation, but for who he is and what he has done. So you're not praising and thanking him for the, no. You're praising and thanking him for who he is, what he's accomplished. He said you are more than conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. In fact, these things come to build our faith. And I'm here today sharing with you. And I went in, I humbled myself, I repented, and I said, Lord, help me. And then I went into praise and worship. I began to sing all the song to just glorify this God. Because even if my situation doesn't change, he is worthy of honor. He is worthy of praise because he's God. And who knows, he might be using it for his glory. For his glory. It says, all things work together for good to them that believe and are called. To them who love God and are called by his purpose. Let me just quickly chip in here. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know which season this is in your life. But I want you to know that it's working out for your good. Because the Bible says it's working out for your good. And together, as we stand upon his word, it will come to pass in Jesus' name. So we're going to look at, like I said, we're going to look at the process. The Bible tells us if this peace is lost, how we can restore it or maintain it, continue to grow in this peace. We're going to be taking looking at the scriptures, Philippians chapter 4, from verse 4. Let's start from verse 4. It's amazing. Excuse me. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight. Gladden yourself in him. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. We have a reason to rejoice. Because Jesus is our Savior. Because of the salvation of our souls, we have a reason to rejoice. And this morning, if you feel like, Ruth, you don't get me. How can I rejoice? The burden. I don't even know where this help is going to come from. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. In the Bible, we have a lot of stories in the Old Testament of how walls came down just by praising God. He told Jehoshaphat, have you received a news today that seemed impossible? The nations have gathered and they are like, we're coming for you. And the Lord says, the battle is not yours. Just gather the Levites. Just praise, tambourine, sing, and see what the Lord will do. So rejoice in the Lord. You would say, Ruth, that's in the Old Testament. Show me one today. We've been having issues, plenty issues, plenty. But this is financial. And since last year, I've just been like, Lord, you know, that's how you're going to do this is beyond me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I will give thanks. Send your thanks ahead, like someone says. Faith is, I believe he's done it, so I'm thanking him for it. That's faith. Thank him for it. What are you believing God for? Thank God ahead. And so, and when, let me just chip this in. When you think that I can't do it by myself, praise God for the leaders in the house. You can walk up to them and just tell them, you might not, don't even mention what it is. Can you agree with me? God honors his word if you walk by faith. He doesn't want the enemy to steal your peace. Because these things, all these little things come to steal our peace. The enemy knows it. So he knows how to sneak in subtly. And before you know it, you just realize, what's going on? Rejoicing. So, this we brought before the Lord. Brought it before the house. And honestly, you know how you just believe you don't know how God is going to do it? That was it. And he just kept carrying us. Every time I remember, I would just thank God. I'd just praise him and tell the, you know, just the thought wants to like, what's your plan? A, B, C. No, I'm waiting on the Lord. And I'm praising God because he's working something out. And when the Lord did it, I would say, I am like what the psalmist says. I was like her who dreamed. I did not believe it was going to be just like that. He just did it in the nick of time. How many of us have experienced the Lord waiting 99.9999 before he shows up? So your faith is stretched. You are like, is he going to show up? Is he going to show up? But it's like your faith is like, I would not move. He says, stay here. Is he going to show up? And that's the place where the enemy wants to play with your peace. Because instead of being at peace with him, you are like anxious. There's like fear. All these things want to come in. But one of the ways to keep away this is by rejoicing, because God is faithful. Verse 5 says, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit, for the Lord is near. He is coming soon. How we relate with others. How we relate with others. The Lord could come anytime. He wants us to do our best. As much as it lies within us to live in peace with the people around us. And in the place, as a body and as a family, in the bond of unity, peace, strive. In Christ, we can only do this in Christ, not by ourselves. In the finished work of the Lord. I think our favorite verse is verse 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So he's answered. He said, do not be anxious. Do not fear. By prayer, make your petition and then thanksgiving. He always comes back to thanksgiving. That God has heard. So the cure for anxiety, for fear, is prayer. And Jesus told us, do not worry. And I say it again, do not worry. For the Lord is with you. Matthew 1:23. He will be called Emmanuel. For God with us. God is with us. So when anxiety and problem comes, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for us all. He cares for us all. He doesn't want anything to steal our peace. But the enemy knows. Do you know when we allow fear and doubt? It's a sin. We're saying that God is not able to do what he says he would do in our lives. Simple. When you doubt that God will not show up. So if you're feeling that there is a bit, I don't believe that God will make a way out for me. Let's pray together. Because we believe that God has already made a way. We know that he's perfected all that concerns you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Verse 7 says, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort, that is that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and mind. Isn't that lovely? When you rejoice, when you pray, when you give thanks, he said, the peace from this Holy Spirit will stand guard of your heart that nothing can penetrate. Nothing can penetrate. Nothing can come in there. That's what the Word of God is telling us this morning. You know, a lot in life is different, but the victory is sure. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I call it 1b, I put it, it says, the path the Lord has mapped for you. And I can say this because when Peter told Jesus Christ, after Jesus in John chapter 21 told him that when you grow old, you'll be led where you don't want to go. They will take you by the hand. And Peter looked at him and said, what about him? And Jesus said, mind your business. I'm paraphrasing. How God led Peter was different from how he led Paul, how he led Peter, John, how he led Andrew. But one thing is sure, they all experienced victory. They experienced the peace. They experienced power in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the same for us today. It's the same for us. I'm sure every one of us would love to live in the reality every day of knowing that the Holy Spirit is standing guard over your heart to protect. But we have a responsibility here because we cannot put garbage in and expect him to stand guard. So we have a responsibility to what we see, watch, what we listen to. He says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. We have a responsibility. The things you're listening to, are they building faith or they are tearing down? The psalmist says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but meditate in it day and night to observe and to do all that is written in it, that thou mayest prosper and have good success. So we have a responsibility to take in the word of God. And God assures us that his spirit will stand guard over our hearts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. Am I lost? Thank you so much. Okay, Garrison, that's 7, 8, I'm sorry, 8. I decided to, I would have stopped in 7, but I just love verse 8 because it's something that I practice that has helped me to overcome. So I just thought I would just add it. 8 says, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemingly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. There was a time my mind was going everywhere. Everywhere. And I had to put this into practice. So I would tell myself, Ruth, this thing you want to think on, is it true? In some cases, it's true, it will pass the first test. Is he worthy? In some cases, it's not. And I'm like, I will not think on this. On other instances, I will pass, it's honorable, seemingly, it's just, but is it pure? Oh, no, it's not pure. Then I'm like, out. I won't think on them. And so this helps me to focus on the word of the Lord so that the peace of God that transcends all human understanding would continue to remain in my heart. Verse 9. This was Paul speaking. Practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you. If you do these things, the God of peace will continue to remain with us. In closing, rounding up. John chapter 16, verse 33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. The Lord has conquered for us. And so we are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. I will read another scripture. Then I saw the new sky, heaven, and a new earth. For the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished, and they no longer exist anymore. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautified and adorned for her husband. And then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words saying, see, the abode of God is with men, and he would live and camp tent among them. And they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. God would wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore. For the old condition and the former order of things have passed away. Because he accomplished Isaiah 53, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11. I know, as we are also celebrating the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to come again. And this time, to settle this once and for all. So let us rejoice in the Lord, because he's true, he's reliable, he's loving, and he's faithful. And you might just think that, Ruth, you've said all this. I can't find myself. I don't think I'm in anywhere near there. But let me give you a picture of a child. Before the child begins to walk, the child will fall so many times. But does the child remain there, except if there's something wrong physically? I want to encourage you. Stand up in the Lord and keep moving. Praise the Lord. We're going to take a song as we come to the end, just before we pray, to just worship God and thanking Him for sending Jesus for us, for our salvation. And if anyone needs prayer, you've not really said yes to Jesus and you want to experience this peace, it starts with saying yes to Him. And you like prayers, the leaders will be here to pray. Or if you have anything that you just want the leaders to agree in prayer with you, remember that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we want to stop that. The thoughts of like he was going to do this, that's negative thinking, negative mindset. We want to agree with you and say no more. After this song, there'll be people here if you need any prayers. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.